This morning I'm talking about Agni Yoga, and fiery people do not fear. It's very interesting to me, and has been over the years, to really understand fire as it is described in the teaching, because it's so different from the fire that we normally know. And then I read one day many years ago when I was studying the Secret Doctrine, where Blavatsky, H.P. Blavatsky, mentioned something so simple and so obvious, but our minds try to complicate things. And she said, the fire we talk about is not the physical fire that we see. And I thought, oh, thank God. Okay. That kind of removes some of the scariness from, you know, thinking about fire as a human being. Fast forward to a few years and more studying and contemplating the words in Agni Yoga, just like the verse that Catherine read today from Supramundane, relating fearlessness with fire. Fire exists in our spirit. That's the best definition, the most clear explanation I can understand about fire, that fire exists in our spirit. Then, as you begin to experience the fire, then the reality that this fire exists in our spirit comes to life. What is also so beautiful to realize it again, this is all information you learn in the teaching and through your studies and meditation, is that there are various fires that exist in your spirit. And these fires eventually become flames. And eventually the flames become one flame. So as you are spiritually advancing, spiritually progressing, the fires increase. And I think that's all I'm going to say, but I just wanted to give a little bit of an introduction so that, especially for those of you that will be listening to the talk on our YouTube account, that you'll have at least a better understanding of what Agni Yoga is referring to when we talk about fire. Now, the master says, fiery people do not fear. Okay, most of us, certainly myself, have fear. And yet I know I'm a fiery being. So then my question is, why do fiery people not fear? And what does the term fiery people mean? So my whole talk today is going to be based on, in part, fiery people and fire. So I'm going to take the approach different from last week, the Agni Yoga approach to fearlessness, and what the master means when he says fiery people do not feel fear. So let's start with this. Basic statement that most of you have heard before, that Agni means fire. Okay, Agni means fire, and yoga means union. So Agni Yoga is union with fire. So it's a whole different kind of yoga than Hatha Yoga, Yana Yoga, the other hot yoga. There's so many yogas out there today now that you don't even recognize them because they're not part of the fundamental yogas. But Agni Yoga means fire, and yoga means union. So it is union with fire. Agni Yoga means union through, by, or in fire. So this means the person that is practicing Agni Yoga will have an increase in or through or by fire. That fire is going to increase in that way. Now, what's very important to understand, that the core of a human being is fire. So we all have fire. You don't have to be an Agni Yogi to have fire. Every human being has fire at their core, has spirit at their core. As human beings, each of us is essentially a nucleus of fire. Now that seems, sure, that's common sense, but as we think more about this nucleus of fire, we also, and I won't be talking much about it today, but we want to think about, well, how is this nucleus expressed? How does this nucleus of fire within us come into expression? See, these are just ideas for us to understand, because the master says fiery people do not fear. So we're trying to understand and then develop ourselves in such a way we'll eventually reach that level of expression of fearlessness. So we have the fire of matter. We have the fire of emotions. We have the fire of thoughts, as well as the fire of higher spheres. And these higher spheres we call higher cosmic ethers. These higher fires are also called the fire of intuition, the atmic fire, monadic fire, and divine fire, the fire of the divine planes. These are higher cosmic fires. So we've gone through the whole spectrum of fire from the coarsest to the most refined. Now, for example, fire, when we talk about intuition and higher mind and think about fire, we recognize fire is the current of energy that comes down from the higher mental plane, or from the higher level of more refined fire would be the fire of intuition. So as we practice meditation, as we engage in the process of striving on the path of self-perfectment, we are bringing in these higher fires, and they come down through the higher cosmic ethers into the intuitional and into the higher mind, and finally permeate our entire human constitution. So as we advance in our evolution, fire is going to increase in us. Gradually, as I was saying a little earlier, as we become more fiery, then we become a flame. This flame has a fragrance, and it is called a fiery fragrance. All great avatars walk as flames. We know a handful of people that have walked this planet that were walking flames, let's call them. Their aura radiates out for miles. That radiation takes that fire into the subtle planes. So that fire that they carry, that flame that they walk as, goes not just out into the physical environment, but also into the higher worlds. And then they take that fire with them into the higher worlds and brings it back from the higher worlds into the physical realm. It's so interesting. There are not many people that walk the planet. We're told about 64 all total walk the planet as a living flame. We are told that an Agni Yogi is one of fiery armor. Think about, see how this is all tying together? That the Agni Yogi is going to be a person of fiery armor. It is this armor that makes them fearless. The fiery armor is the armor that makes them fearless. Fiery armor, then, is a gift to humanity from those who carry the fire of Agni within their nature. They are the fiery beings who mastered life and released that highest fire within themselves. So throughout the teaching, we read that only those who carry this fiery armor with them can reach the tower. The tower is the highest creative center in man and on the planet. Those who seek the community of hierarchy belong to the fiery element. So let me say this again. Those who seek the community of hierarchy belong to the fiery element. This fire is born from exaltation and inspiration. This is what striving brings to us, the results of the effect of the bliss of the manifestation which occurs from striving is fire, and it is from this fire is born exaltation. So when you experience this fire, and it's not for us, you know, in the normal realm of being human, we're not going to experience this fire every moment. But when you experience it, you'll understand the word exaltation. There is nothing like it. When you're in that state of bliss, you are in the fragrance of bliss and exaltation. It is otherworldly. As the human soul or spark travels toward higher spheres, that soul becomes more fiery and transmits a greater quantity of fire. And thus the master says, fiery people, do not fear. Okay, fearlessness. What then is fearlessness? Fearlessness is the power not to lose. Now, this is the normal. Now, we're not talking about an avatar or a great being. Now, we're bringing this back to who we are, okay? And what it means when we can establish or experience moments of fearlessness. So when we experience a moment of fearlessness, we are standing in stability. We have balance. We have reasoning and logic. So we have these elements, stability, balance, reason, and logic, while we are undergoing a situation that most people experience as fear, or when we're under attack. So particularly when we are thinking so clearly that we have logic and reasoning. Now this is where the fire of fearlessness steps in. See, it is the fire that helps us think logically and reasonably. Without that phenomenon called flight or fight, we have something different going on within our nature, particularly logic and reasoning. Logic and reasoning brings stability. Fearlessness is to stand in your inner divinity, unshaken, and then or thus take wise action to conquer your adversaries, whether that adversary is something within your subconscious or the adversary is another human being or situation. Here's a cute story. There was a big, tough samurai who once went to visit a little monk. Now, we think of monks of being small, frail, you know, and usually in a cave on a mountain. And little. So, little monk. So this big, tough samurai, we recognize samurais, right? Once went to see a little monk. Monk, he said, in a voice that's accustomed to instant obedience, teach me about heaven and hell. And the monk looked up at this mighty warrior and replied with utter disdain, I teach you about heaven and hell? I couldn't teach you about anything. You're dirty, you smell, your blade is rusty. You're a disgrace. You are an embarrassment to the samurai class. Get out of my sight. I can't stand you. Well, the samurai, as you can imagine, was furious. He shook and he got all red in the face, and he was speechless with rage. He pulled out his sword, raised it above him, preparing to slay the monk. That's hell, said the monk softly. The samurai was overwhelmed. The compassion and surrender of this little man, monk, who had offered his life to give this teaching to show him hell, he slowly put down his sword, filled with gratitude, and was suddenly peaceful. And that's heaven, said the fearless monk softly. That cute. The great sage, Master Moria, in the book Supermundane, paragraph 61, says this. He says, if one fears human judgment, let him not think about ethics. If one trembles for his earthly life, let him complete his decay in darkness. One can see that a coward perishes sooner than a courageous man. Be assured that he who fears death attracts it to himself. Let us not dwell upon these spasms of fear, for when one speaks about brotherhood, there is no place for fear. All feeling is based on either love or fear. But fear is not appropriate where there is striving to light. Whoever turns to the teacher should fill their heart with love, since reverence and respect without love cannot be true. Something that love will diminish reverence. But this indicates a misunderstanding of that high emotion. The true disciple is the one who loves their teacher plain and simple. There's such a chemistry in this. It's a formula. It is a psychic energy, we could call it, and a chemistry of fire, a formula of chemistry of fire that such a love carries with you. And this is what people misunderstand. They think if you love your teacher, then you are somehow a person of submission, or a person who lacks independence, or a person who is weak. The one who is weak is the one without love. The one who has fear is the one without love. So respect and reverence is the expression of love for the teacher. And when you have love for the teacher, you are building fearlessness, igniting these fires within your beingness. Here's another quote from Supramundane, paragraph 159. Urasvati remembered that once a lotus served her as a boat. As frail as such a boat was, she felt no fear because her love for the teacher gave her fearlessness. Only ardent love can create such fearlessness, and one should intensely cultivate it. I was thinking how when I used to play the violin back in the day, and I would be in the middle of a performance, when the performers felt the magnificent creative power of the composer, along with the conductor and the members of the orchestra, that's exaltation. That's creative power. That's love. And there is no earthly comparison to it. So this is why love, pure, ardent love, is the absence of fear. And this is why we want to have love for the teacher. Let me rewind a minute here with this verse. Only ardent love can create such fearlessness, and one should intensely cultivate it. Without the protection of love, one cannot withstand the attacks of chaotic forces, and even one's health will suffer. In the Ages Wisdom, we are taught about the constitution of the human being. This teaching emphasizes that we are more than a physical body. We are more than emotions, more than the mind. The teaching reminds us also that our future will be made of higher, more refined bodies. It tells us that these higher, more refined bodies are for the expression of our life, our divine spark, fire. In essence, we are an unfolding human soul striving to return to the Father's home. If there were no challenges to this return, then we would leave and we would return without any advancement. But life is complicated. And one of these complications is where our human soul becomes caught in the ancient web of the subconscious. So last week I talked a lot about the subconscious. I'm going to repeat and go back into talking about the contents of the subconscious again so that you can understand the source of fear is found in the subconscious. It is a storehouse of fear The subconscious is a depository of hindrances and pain and suffering, fear and horror. Hindrances that are all chained together and begin to control the life of our soul. And thus, life after life, age after age, these accumulated chains of events prevent our soul from returning to the Father's home. But all is not lost, for many opportunities are given to us through the process of tests and crises and opportunities which give us insight. They give us foresight to advance our earthly incarnation so we may graduate and return to the Father's home. Advancement requires, though, that we pass these tests, that we pass through these crises, and that we recognize the opportunities given to us so that we can graduate from this world and experience the fiery worlds and infinity. Last week, I said that these age-long subconscious accumulations must be eliminated. Now we can understand why. If we want the fires that exist in our spirit to be ignited and eventually turned into a flame, we must begin to eliminate these factors, these fears that are in our subconscious. Fear is like the tentacles of an octopus in our subconscious mind. It relates almost every element in our subconscious to everything else. This is why the major trigger and push button in our mind is fear. Cunning people manipulate us through fear. Once we are afraid, or once the fear penetrates, once we are afraid, then this fear penetrates into the subconscious mind, and our subconscious mind begins to collect all the memories of fear. Just imagine that. Imagine all the lifetimes of experience that you have come through this wheel of rebirth, death and rebirth. And we carry these events with us, and we become paralyzed. We no longer have the freedom to act with discernment. We no longer have the clarity of mind to make right and good choices for ourselves. We act out through the push button controls of hatred, anger, jealousy, revenge, disloyalty, and associated images and imagination. Let me just briefly touch on what we have seen, the events that have unfolded the last few days about the young man in Memphis that was so brutally beaten by those, I guess you're supposed to say allegedly, but pretty, when you see the video, how do you say alleged? These five men in a scorpion unit. I find that interesting, that term, a scorpion unit. That anger in them escalated. It escalated. It started here, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That poor man had no chance. He tried to escape. He was tall and skinny. Those five policemen, when they were running after him, you could hear them breathing. What kind of shape were they in? That activated, that action in itself activated their subconscious mind. All of those fears they were carrying in the subconscious mind, the tentacles of the octopus in every single one of them was ignited. They were trained to look for criminals in that area. They were not trained to save them, but to capture them. Yeah. That poor man, that poor young man and his mom and dad. We act out through push-button controls of hatred and anger and revenge and disloyalty and associated images and imagination. Dark forces use fear to occupy and possess us. What are the dark forces? On the astral plane, there are agents of the dark forces whose duty it is to create separatism, to cause criminal action, inertia, oppression, totalitarianism, and materialism. These dark forces are very careful not to lose an opportunity to enter into our astral body and to energize it. Once a person or even a group is tuned in with such an astral vehicle, an astral body that is saturated with fears and various desires and vices and addictions, these dark forces pour their destructive influences into the victim and causes them a lot of suffering. The dark forces are preserved enemies from previous solar systems. They are continuing their hatred against the human race. Some of our dreams and nightmares are the result of their projections, which associated with the fears in our subconscious mind create horrors and paralysis in our life. So people think that fear is an emotion, but it would be better to say that fear is a reaction to an enormous power who rules on this planet. It is a reaction to an enormous power that rules on this planet, who is in reality a dark entity. One of the elders who rebelled against the command and had his light taken from him. This entity was sent from the cosmic astral plane to our planet, our Earth, to veil the souls of men, to prevent them from seeing the path, to prevent them from seeing the future and reality. This entity penetrated not only into the earth, but the physical body of humanity, and also into the astral and lower mental bodies of mankind, conditioning its actions, emotions, and thoughts. 2 weeks ago, a speaker gave a lecture on worship. She said, "Our worship is often backed by fear. Our agreements are generated through fear. As long as fear dominates our feelings and thinking and actions, we will not have a clear direction that is inspired by higher forces. It is very true that fear is our number one enemy. At present, fear permeates all human beings, and some more than others. So fear, like a universal black, overcasting cloud, builds a barrier between humanity and the source of light. It permeates each human being and causes spiritual paralysis. It is through this force of darkness that people hate each other, exploit each other, hide from each other, kill each other, like to hurt each other and are jealous of each other. So just, you know, where I'm sorry to bring up this incident that happened to this young man, you can see the relativity, though, of what fear did and how it acted and how it killed. I'm jumping through some of this. But know that there are, of course, sources of fear that only our teacher and master can fight against. And they will often provide a shield for our protection. Do not think that this fieriness comes by itself. It must be cultivated through many lifetimes. This means that fieriness is the degree of spirit that has been ignited in your soul and life. It is the cosmic breath that surges through the whole of your human constitution, but especially in your thoughts. Why is this? Thought gives form, right? Thought gives form. Thought gives direction. Life. It imparts creativeness. And thought imparts the attraction of a drawing magnet. Those who have a fiery spirit are those who live life by higher ways, more refined levels of consciousness. This means people who are pure in spirit. It means they live their life through beauty, through the understanding of the common good. Do you see what was missing in that event? These policemen and others that were around them were not serving the common good or the spirit of love in that young man who is calling out for his mom. It means they live their lives without self-interest, without egotism. It means they live their life by applying the teaching, and the teaching is life. Fire demands cautious handling in all its manifestations. It is needed as the intermediary. This is a quote from the book Fiery World, Volume 1, Verse 19. Fire demands cautious handling in all its manifestations. It is needed as the intermediary for all exalted actions. People cannot exist without turning to fire. In the earthly world or in the subtle world, they turn to higher meditation. I said that fieriness is the degree of spirit that has been ignited in our soul and life. The Master says in Fiery World 1, same verse 19, I speak of the highest attainment which will bring our subtle body to the fiery world. There are manifested and unmanifested fires that exist in our spirit. For millions of years, we have done great things, good things and bad things, from which we learned many valuable lessons. All these potentials and possibilities within us, within you, are fires. A certain percentage of these fires are going to be expressed. Now listen to this. A certain of these fires are going to be expressed and manifested in coming centuries. Each of you, whether you like or hate yourself, is a garden in which there are one or two blooming flowers. But millions of seeds are sleeping under the layers of your soul. These are the potentials programmed there which are not yet activated. So these higher fires, we could say then, are ideas, the envisions, possibilities, potential, talent, genius, inspirations, and impressions. These fires exist in our spirit. Once we have cultivated a fiery spirit and live by higher ways, they will be recognized as a spirit. That person, those people, that group, that country, that nation will be recognized as a spirit who has assimilated the fires of space. Such a person or group or entity is an Agni Yogi. And in Infinity, Volume 2, Paragraph 385, it says, an Agni Yogi is a fire carrier who imparts to humanity the subtlety of knowledge. One who has a fiery spirit lives life by higher ways, becomes a source of life for many. Such a person has burned the contents of their subconscious mind and is now living what is called the triadal light. The yogi who has this fiery spirit is one who awakens others. They help them to face themselves and to become their truest self. They are totally fearless. And let me close with this. Without bias or prejudice, the carrier of fire is one who has burned the content of their own subconscious and is now ready to help others to awaken, to help others to remove their pseudo-masks so that they can live life as a real person, an actual person, rather than as one who hides behind those masks. An Agni Yogi will help others to shatter their masks with truth, will shatter their false identities to reveal their inner divinity to themselves. The Agni Yogi will help others to free their soul from a state of numbness and a waking sleep. And I'm going to end there because we're out of time. That's enough. It's a lot.